Hello and thank you for the download. This is Pastor Steve Hom. Today's message is based on a reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of our Lord. Dear friends in Christ, what do you think? Do miracles still happen? Do miracles exist? And I'm not talking about just the kind of miracles like, oh, it was a miracle I got out of bed this morning. Or it would be a real miracle if somehow the Cowboys would beat the Packers this afternoon. I'm talking about real miracles, acts of God, divine intervention. Now, the fact that you're all here this morning, gathered together to give worship and praise to God, I think I could make a safe assumption that everyone would say, yes, miracles happen. Miracles exist. God is still at work in this world. Maybe the more difficult question is, do you notice the miracles that happen? Do you see God's miracles that happen every day around you? This morning, as we look at an account we're pretty familiar with, Jesus being baptized in the Jordan River, we're going to look at it from this perspective to witness the miracles that happen. Then we're going to have one additional thought which makes this all the more amazing. And that is the fact that God chooses to use people like John the Baptist, like you and like me, to make way for his miracles. And that God makes miracles happen through us, using us as his chosen instruments to bring miracles to this world. There are different ways you can read through the scriptures which focus your attention and are beneficial for your faith. You can read through the Bible and as you go through, try to see all the promises of God and highlight those and meditate on those. You can read through the Bible and you can try to find all the reasons you have to be thankful and give thanks for those and meditate on those. One interesting way to read through the scriptures is to read through and try to spot all the miracles. Look for all the miracles as you're reading the word. We're going to do that a little bit this morning as we look at Mark's gospel, just eight verses from the first chapter. But we notice one miracle after the other. Right away, in the first verse we read, "So John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins." A baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. There's numerous miracles contained in just those few words. Forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins. That's a miracle. That is divine intervention. It's an act of God. You realize what a miracle it is that anyone would know about forgiveness when we think of what we deserve, what mankind deserves from God. God said, "Be perfect, or you will see my wrath." And mankind is imperfect. You and I are imperfect. So we deserve God's wrath. To know God's forgiveness instead, well, that's a miracle. That there would even be such a thing as forgiveness is a miracle. So if you think about it, we all experienced at least one miracle already this morning. Just a few minutes ago, you confessed your sins, I confessed my sins, and then we heard God say, "Your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And that is a miracle. That was the message that John came to preach. Salvation. Forgiveness. It was a message of forgiveness through faith, by God's grace. Different than the message that many of the people were hearing at that time. Their message was forgiveness is something you earn. Follow the right rules. You will find salvation. And John said, no. Confess your sins, repent, and believe. Believe in the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's what John's message was all about. Christ. Forgiveness through Christ. The miracle that comes through faith in Christ. That's just the first verse. In the next verse, we find perhaps an even more amazing miracle. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. So the message itself was miraculous. The message of forgiveness was miraculous. But then a further miracle was the fact that people actually listened. They listened to that man out in the wilderness. They went out to him. They confessed their sin and they were baptized by him. A baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That's a miracle. It's a miracle that they would hear his call to repentance and listen. It's a miracle because by nature, nobody wants to listen to a message that comes from God. Our natural selves, our sinful selves, close our ears to God and to his word. By nature, the people in the Judean countryside would want nothing to do with that man out in the wilderness proclaiming repentance. But God worked miracles. He worked miracles in people's hearts. By the power of his Holy Spirit, they came to John, repented, and were forgiven. It's a miracle. When you participate in the work of the kingdom, when you bring a message of peace and forgiveness, do you ever get to witness those miracles when people listen? Take it to heart. It's an amazing thing that you could say to your child, "You're forgiven through Jesus," and that they would believe. That you could say to your spouse, "I forgive you, God forgives you," and that they would believe. That you could say it to a neighbor or a friend, and they listen. That's a miracle. It's a miracle of the Spirit, a miracle of God. And it happens. It happens around us. this building this morning, it's filled with miracles. The fact that any one of you is sitting here, it's a miracle. It means you've heard the word and you believe. That's what gives you the impulse to want to come and worship. The Spirit, the miracle of the Spirit that has brought you here, just as it brought all those people out to John the Baptist. Now think of things from John's perspective. It's kind of hard to put ourselves in the sandals of John the Baptist. It's maybe even more difficult when we read a little more about him. John wore clothing made of camel's hair. Well, maybe we could do that for a few days. Leather belt around his waist, no problem. Ate locusts. I don't know about that. Wild honey? Sure. Sounds good. John's described as kind of an interesting character living out there in the wilderness. But the way we can connect with John the Baptist is his attitude towards his work and the work of God. What did he say? This was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. It's an interesting message. John said, there's one coming after me who is far more powerful than I. And then he gives those words, I baptize with water, but he will baptize with the Holy Spirit. These are words that are sometimes misunderstood, even by Christians. They take these words and they see, oh, that means that water baptism has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. They're different things. But that's not the comparison that John was making. John was talking about the one doing the baptizing. He said, I baptize with water. Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, by his nature, has the power and the authority to give the Holy Spirit. John understood that all he could do is put water on people. That doesn't mean that the Spirit wasn't at work in that baptism. It means that if it was, that was God's doing, not John's. All he did said, all I do is baptize. I just put the water on. But Jesus has the power and the authority to give the Spirit. It's all about Jesus. We see the power and the authority of Jesus in the very next verses. As Jesus goes out to John, at that time Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. It's interesting, this is how Mark, the Gospel of Mark, introduces Jesus. We hear nothing about his birth in Bethlehem and the angels singing, glory to God in the highest. We see John the Baptist and then we see this man, Jesus, who goes out to John and is baptized in the Jordan River. Just as so many others went out to John and were baptized in the Jordan River. But this Jesus is different. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Again, think of this from John's perspective. He spent a lot of time baptizing in the Jordan River. He was pretty well acquainted with baptisms. Now he baptizes Jesus, and it's very different. He witnesses miracle after miracle. He sees a dove descending, the Spirit descending like a dove. He sees the heavens rip open and he hears a voice thundering, "This is my Son whom I love." That must have made quite an impression. John the Baptist. We know that when Jesus came out to John, he didn't even want to baptize him in the first place. He didn't find himself worthy. But Jesus said, no, this has to happen. That in itself was a miracle. It was a miracle that Jesus put himself in the Jordan River to be baptized. What is baptism about? It's a washing, a forgiveness of sins. And why would Jesus go into the Jordan River to be baptized? He had no sin. What does the Bible say? What does the Apostle Paul write in 2 Corinthians? God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. It was not only on the cross where Jesus carried the weight of the sins of the world. He took that upon himself as he took on human flesh. He carried with him his whole life. And as he stepped into the Jordan River, he stood there as our substitute, the substitute for our sins. He did that willingly. And there the Lord proclaimed, "This is my Son." And in proclaiming that, he said to the whole world, "This substitute is the one that has the power to actually bring forgiveness. This substitute is the Savior, the Messiah." And then Jesus stepped out of the Jordan and into a life of public ministry, proclaiming the same message as John the Baptist: repentance, forgiveness of sins. Till he went to the cross and died for those sins. And miracle of miracle, God accepted his sacrifice, and in him we have forgiveness. What a wonder. What a thing to witness. Our Savior in the Jordan River. It's wonderful to see miracles. John the Baptist must have left that day with just shaking his head. I'm not worthy to have witnessed such an amazing thing. And that was not the only time that he saw miracles. You and I have that opportunity. The opportunity to make way for miracles. Just as God used John the Baptist as his instrument to bring that miracle that we see in the Jordan River to this world, he uses you and he uses me. What do we do? Nothing extraordinary. Just like John the Baptist. What did he say? I just baptize with water. I put water on people. I wash. Think of the things we can do through which God can work miracles. I just stand in front of a group of people and say some words on a Sunday morning. What do you do? What can you do? I just read a Bible story to my child at night. I just teach Sunday school on a Sunday morning. I just help clean the church once a month. I just bring food for a fellowship event or a evangelism event. I just say something to my neighbor and say, "Hey, you want to come to church with me?" Things that in and of themselves might not seem like amazing works. And yet think of the miracles that God can do through those acts of service. Through simply speaking words to your child about Jesus, he can strengthen the faith in their heart. Through simply your service of cleaning church on a weekend, he can use that as a tool to enhance people's praise. Or perhaps someone who visits the church is impressed by its cleanliness. And that in itself is not going to work faith in their hearts, but it might give them a good impression. Take away a barrier. We never know. All the service we do in God's kingdom can be making way for miracles. And maybe if we looked at it that way, it would kind of change the way we look at serving the Lord. It takes away some of the barriers we might have or some of the excuses we might have to not serve. When we see something so insignificant can be used by a very powerful God to do a very wonderful thing, doesn't that give us an excitement for service, a desire? May God use us that way to make way for His miracles. And then to have that understanding, it's not about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about our Lord. He can do an amazing thing and do amazing things through us. May He open our eyes this morning, every day, to see the miracles happening around us. And then may He give us a desire to be His instrument, to serve Him so that through us we can see Him doing those amazing things. Amen. Thank you for listening. To find out more about our ministry at Cross of Glory, see us on the web at crossofglorylutheran.com or like our Facebook page at facebook.com/crossofglorylc. God bless your day.